Brad and Brit, Brad and Brit, the perfect combination of brawn and wit. Politics, sports, and trending shit. Let's tune in to Brad and Brit.
That's the Brad and Brit cast. Thank you for joining us. We got a very, very important list today.
Okay.
Very, very, very important list. Let me get right to it here so that we don't derail ourselves immediately.
Right.
You ready?
Right. Go.
Trump, not Joe, needs to step away.
Okay.
Number one. Two, fuck Mitch McConnell. Three, Wendy's, is it surge pricing or not? Four, Joe goes to the doctor. Five, Michigan decided nothing. Or six, Don Jr.'s revenge. I know it's tough. That's a tough choice.
These are all quality. Let's go with that one that's the most breaking, I guess, a little bit before we started. The news coming out that Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, who has been the Republican leader in the Senate for longer than any human being who's ever lived. He was conceived through IVF fertilization, and now he has decided in November he will step aside and let a new generation of young whippersnappers take over as a Senate leader, Brad, for the Republican Party.
Well, see, this is where you're wrong. He was not conceived by IVF fertilization because he was conceived so long ago, the letter I hadn't even been invented yet.
Wow. Okay? Wow, no, that's something.
Heard of it. You know, you've left jobs. You've been fired from jobs. I've left jobs. I've been fired from jobs. But only politicians, and this is really true, only politicians believe that when they leave a job, tears must flow, speeches must be given, personal retrospectives must be presented to the world. Mitch McConnell, here we go. Listen to this blather. Listen to this bullshit.
Blather.
From earlier in the day on Wednesday.
The grieving process. God's way of reminding you of your own life's journey to reprioritize the impact of the world that we will all inevitably leave behind.
Yeah, you mean the fucked up judges that you got put in there? All the other crap that you've done all this? I'm crying for you, ass face.
Closer than I prefer. My career in the United States Senate. And it's the Reagan Revolution. The truth is, I was just happy to be in
my room. President Reagan called me. How long does this go on?
8 minutes.
I've heard enough right now. I'm good.
Right. Right. I don't know if you caught the last. He said, President Reagan called me Mitch O'Donnell. Oh, you mean Reagan couldn't remember names either?
Yeah.
He was the original senile old coot as president of the United States. Jeez, God Almighty, go away. Just go away.
This is what kills me, because they've already started this on the cable shows. Let's have the panel discussion. What is Mitch McConnell's legacy in the United States Senate? Let's go around.
How great is it? How great is his legacy? The greatest or second, right behind Strom Thurmond?
His legacy of fucking over Obama and not allowing the Merrick Garland thing to even come up for a vote. It wasn't that Obama didn't have the votes. It's that he wouldn't even bring it up for a vote.
Well, to be fair, Obama was a black man.
You know, Obama did insist on being black, and that was a huge problem.
He did that, and Mitch McConnell's a senator from Kentucky, so you can see how what had to be done was done. So,
but at least later on, I mean, the excuse they gave of a president in his final year in office not being able to, you know, put somebody in, at least they were consistent with that. And when Trump in his final year tried to, they put somebody in and let it come up for a vote. Oh, shit.
Britt, that was different. You know. You know that.
Remember, what rule was that one that they said they were utilizing? What rule was that?
That was the Biden rule. By the way, was not a rule.
They made it up.
They made that shit.
They just made it up.
I think Joe Biden once said in a drunken stupor while licking an ice cream cone that in the last year of a president's term, you shouldn't put a judge. All right. He is a dreadful person. And here's why. Because we could be on the precipice of Donald Trump being elected president of the United States. Lord, I hope not.
Yeah.
But if he is, and you want to start pointing fingers or saying who laid the groundwork or who enabled the process that even put Donald Trump in the position to run again, it's Mitch McConnell. Because had Donald Trump been convicted the first time or the second time in the Senate, being impeached and then convicted by the Senate with a 2/3 vote, we wouldn't be talking about Donald Trump today, would we? He wouldn't be in the Michigan primary. He wouldn't be coming to Greensboro in 3 days to the Special Events Center, which holds at least, what, maybe 3,000 people on a good day if they reposition the room enough, maybe.
Yeah, but not his fat-ass fans. They're only going to be like $2,000 at max, I think.
Okay. But it's Mitch McConnell, remember, who gave that wonderful speech right after January 6th, laying the blame for all of this at the feet of Donald Trump, but then said it will be up to the judicial system to punish Donald Trump. It's not our place to do so. And then he was he was out of the presidency, right? We can't convict the guy. He bent over backwards after first saying the right thing, but he didn't mean that.
Well, but you got to be fair. His helping out and coddling Donald Trump made him a beloved figure in the Republican. Oh, it didn't. They hated him. He became pilloried and vilified within the MAGA movement as a piece of shit. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot about that whole situation.
No, but really, it is Mitch McConnell. No, Mitch McConnell. Right now, his legacy is two-pronged. One, all the federal judges that got pushed through, not just at the Supreme Court level, but below. And then the Supreme Court justices, the triplets, who were appointed by Trump, leading to the overturning of Roe versus Wade and the Dodd decision. And then, finally, after agonizing thought, say, I just can't vote to convict. So everybody come along with me who's a Republican, and they could only muster a couple of Republican votes to go along with the 50, 51 Democrats. So they only got to 57 or so. So Trump escaped. This is all on Mitch McConnell. Okay. And if we have a dictator in 9 months, it'll be Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
Who paved the way. No wonder he's hightailing it out of Washington.
Well, he cock-blocked Obama for 8 years. And the reason that he's not the Senate majority leader right now is because of Donald John Trump. It's because of those elections in Georgia. And Donald Trump went down there and promptly lost them.
Yeah. Nice payback by Don for the favor Mitch McConnell did for him. Right.
And so it's nothing.
He started endorsing losers all over the country so that Mitch McConnell became the minority leader instead of the majority leader. You're right.
I mean, that's what happened. And eventually, despite his fealty toward Donald Trump and doing him all, he became they want to kill him. And the MAGA guys have hated Mitch McConnell for many years now.
You're forgetting about, and we'd have to look this up. When did Donald Trump go full racist on Mitch McConnell's wife, his labor secretary, Elaine Chao, calling her Coco Chow, over and over and over again a racial slur of dubious actual meaning. I heard yesterday
that
the slur Coco Chow had something to do with cocaine, that it was some kind of drug reference. Again, I'm not making sense here. I'm just going by another interpretation, because what does it mean? It's just schoolyard stupidity by Donald Trump. By the way, this was the first time he ever did something that was considered schoolyard stupidity.
Those boys like to dabble in cocaine culture for some reason, and I can't quite figure out. I remember. I think Chow pissed him off, because I think she was the first one to resign on January the 6th. Right. I believe she resigned that day, correct?
Yeah. And by the way, therefore justifying. I think we've laid our markers down on this pretty well. We'll let Keith Olbermann do 45 minutes on it tomorrow.
Okay? there's no redeeming. I mean, you have to like sift through so many tons of shit to get to the diamond to try to redeem this man. You can't. It's not possible.
Not going to try.
Yeah, it's like...
not going there.
It's an exercise in futility.
Not going there. All right. The drumbeat about Joe Biden needs to step away. Joe Biden should just pretend he was never born. We need somebody else. We need somebody here. Blah, 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 blah.
What is the current
Joe Biden? It's... What is it?
What's the current genesis of how this has popped up again, that this guy needs to walk away? Was it,
he never went away. Every article, Brit.
It's even more than
about Mr. Filipowski. It's even more written about that. I know.
It simmers for a while, and then all of a sudden somebody comes up with, it's like an article in the New Yorker or Bob Costas or somebody, and then it's a roaring bonfire again that we have to deal with this, that Joe Biden needs to step away.
The person that needs to step away is Donald Trump, and here's obviously the reason that Donald Trump should step away. And remember, I'm saying something that I know cannot exist on planet Earth, cannot exist in the universe, which would be Donald Trump stepping down right now and doing what he really needs to do to save his ass, besides dispatching teams of lawyers that he cannot afford to try to cock block every one of these trials and the charges against him. Just about all of which, as far as I can tell, have rock solid evidence behind them. He needs to do a full Spiro Agnew. Spiro Agnew was caught dead from right and dead from wrong for bribery, extortion, and other things while he was
Vice President
of the United States. So they had him. They had him, and he decided at the last minute, because he would be on TV, I'm going to fight this till the end. No, I'm completely innocent, right? He played that card all the way. And then at the last minute, he cut a deal. It was the first time in my life I'd ever heard the phrase no lo contendere, which means I got nothing, really.
No contest. It's no contest.
I'd never heard that before. I was in college. I think I was a freshman that year, 73. And Agnew pleads no lo contendere. And for that, he gets no jail time. And
why was
he? Hang on. There's one more thing. He promises to never run for public office again. That was the deal that he cut. And in retrospect, pretty smart. I think he actually he wrote some books. He went around. He could probably do the circuit and speak at conservative conferences and things like that. They probably considered him a hero, whatever it was.
Why did they make that deal with him, Brad?
Well, they made that deal with him because they didn't want him to become the president if they were going to nail Nixon.
They had they had a little bit of a bigger issue called Watergate going on, and they had to clear the decks on this one.
I understand that.
People may not be aware. They would bring him actual bags of cash to the White House and put it on his desk. This happened. I'm not being hyperbolic. I'm not exaggerating. He would be given bags, paper bags of cash money as grift to put on his desk.
Right. But the fact is, at a certain point, everyone is into some form of self-preservation. I mean, that's your goal. You want to be around as long as you can, usually. And Donald Trump is on the precipice, and the phrase, the walls are closing in, we're into about our eighth year of that, I know. But he owes a lot of money that he apparently doesn't have. He is still apparently in possession in some form, or has the ability to access all kinds of government secrets that we should be fearful that he might still be willing to trade to some foreign power to scour up the cash to pay what he owes. I mean, this guy will sell anything. This guy will make any kind of a deal to save himself, except apparently not run for the presidency of the United States, which he thinks is the golden ticket to freedom. And I'm not quite so sure that's even true. But he should do what Agnew did. He should do what Agnew did. He won't do what Agnew did, but we get to speak in hypotheticals around here.
Spiro Agnew, who was a horrific human being, even more of a patriot than Donald John Trump Sr.
There you go. Well, the same thing. All right. Remember, it used to be, is it Nixon or Trump? Nixon or Trump? No, it's not even close anymore.
Not even close. Not
so here we go again. Agnew or Trump? Agnew or Trump? Agnew! Agnew. So this is why last week, during President's Week, you saw it. The historians now say that Donald Trump was the worst president in the history of the United States. Now, one of the reasons Trump wants to become president again is so that he can outlaw surveys like that getting published and maybe throw the historians into prison so that he can suddenly become the greatest president in the United States. Oh, the Lincoln I hear was pretty good. I hear that. But, you know, they treated him badly, but not nearly as badly as me.
There's not going to be any prison. He'll just murder them. He'll just have the SEAL Team 6 hunt down the historians and murder them.
Melania, are there any good plays in downtown Washington tonight that we can go to? It's funny.
My favorite storyline on the Trump front hold, well, probably my favorite of the moment, is this deal about putting Laura Trump in charge of the RNC so that they can just kind of raid that and pay their legal bills with the money from the RNC. I love this because they're going to have no money to prop up their candidates this fall because he's going to use it as his own slush fund.
Right. Who was it? I think James Carville said, go for it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Steal all the money. Use it all to pay the lawyers. And there won't be a dime to help Charlie Von Fuckface run for the House seat in New Mexico.
But you know that's like, You're saying this now, it's being done in plain sight. And then like sometime in September or October, somebody's going to go, hey, what happened to all that money that was supposed to be used for the candidates? And they go, no, we had to pay legal bills with that. We had to drain the swamp, so to speak. That is the RNC.
This is the point. This is good stuff that if publicized correctly, and I know we're not talking about reaching the Trump base and convincing them or giving them the permission structure to admit that they've been had all these years by a con man. We know that we're way past that, but it's that fringe, those people on the margins, and there are people on the margins.
Oh, there are.
And you know what? You know where we see them? We see them all over the place. We see them in these primaries. The people that are voting for Nikki Haley, who are Republicans in the primaries, not those phony crossover Democrats and those feckless independents who may be voting for Nikki Haley, but actually Republicans who won't vote for Trump, they're the marginal voters that could and should cost him. That being said, of course, we always have to leaven this with the horrible news that, that Trump appears to be ahead in a lot of the states that matter, for which we're too stupid to understand. How could that possibly be? Different discussion, different, you know, different world.
When you mentioned those crossover voters in some of these open primary states, it brought to mind a two-word phrase that I know will bring up great memories for you, Operation Chaos. Do you remember Operation Chaos?
Let me see if I can find Little Rush. Could you explain? We haven't spoken to Little Rush down in Florida, 40,000 miles below, for a while. Little Rush, Britt was just talking about something called Operation Chaos. Could you tell us about it?
The year was 2008. A great year because America had not yet seen a black president. Hillary and Obama running neck and neck, and I, being the cuddly, fuzzy, whatever the fuck I was, now I'm dead.
I think you're a warm, lovable fuzzball.
Warm, lovable fuzzball with half my brain tied behind my back to make it fair for the libs. I urged open primary voters to go out there. I think it was in Indiana. And to vote for Barack Hussein Obama to cause chaos in the Democrat primary, folks. And once again, Operation Chaos was a massive success.
That's right. And Barack Obama went on to be crushed by John McCain and Sarah Palin in the 2008 election. We all recall that, don't we?
So but again, to hear Donald Trump cry about some of this stuff, these switchover voters, these people that, and some of the, but back in the day, it seemed like a great idea for Republicans to throw sand in the gears. It seemed like a good idea back then, but now
that's different. That's terrible. As always, it's terrible. You don't get it. That's just different.
It's just the worst thing that could ever happen. It's just not fair. Change the rules. Yeah. If Trump becomes president again, he can probably shoot the Board of Elections people that allow these open primaries and just shut that shit down. Registered Republicans only. Voting for registered Republicans, and that's the way it is. That's the way God intended it, and anybody else, I'm going to have to shoot you.
Well, you know that he's got all these states changing their rules in the primary so that he can't lose. The guy who screams fixed election, hoax, unfair, he's the one, of course, that's doing the fixing, where they change the rules where if you get 51% of the votes or even a plurality, you get all the delegates from any given state, which is why Nikki Haley it's impossible for her to win the nomination through the primary process. Now, of course, Trump could drop dead and, you know, then things might be a little bit different. Or, of course, you know, he could step away, Britt. You know, he really could and cut a deal. Oh, he's not going to do that. I think we figured that out already. Not going to happen.
Wait. I gotta be fair and balanced. Biden's really old. Okay, I think that's enough. I think that's... I just wanted to...
You know what? Thank you for getting us back on the straight and narrow.
I had to.
I had forgotten that. Joe Biden is getting his physical today at Willis Reed Memorial Hospital in Washington. Yes. Willis Reed in 1970 was injured terribly. He had a terrible knee injury, center for the New York Knicks, and he came hobbling out in game 7, made a couple of shots, inspired the team. So why don't they call Walter Reed Willis Reed Memorial National Military Center? Come on.
54 years ago. 54 years ago.
Well, wait, Walter Reed, I think he was, wasn't he a doctor, I think?
I think he was.
Way before that. All right. Anyway, Last year, when Joe Biden got his physical, he was declared healthy, vigorous, and fit to handle his White House duties. They will release a written summary of the routine checkup later today, today being Wednesday, as we speak. Last year, the physical showed he had a lesion removed from his chest over the previous year, but the results otherwise largely match the findings that were there the year before, that he didn't age one bit. Anyway, they said his coughing, and you see him cough a lot, right? He'll be just in the middle of, right in the middle of that. They said that's acid reflux.
Oh, yeah. Take something for that.
And he's using a CPAP machine, just like me, with his sleep apnea, which I swear to God, Trump and other, they're characterizing that as, oh, that's an eliminator right there. If he uses a CPAP, he's near death for using that. No, but it sounds worse. When you call it a continuous positive airway pressure system, it sounds like you're on life support every night.
If an iron lung.
Yes. I don't know how many people in the United States are using CPAP. I mean, it's in the tens of millions now.
Right. I'm 54 and a half years old. My health is pretty good. I take several medications for hypertension and various stuff. I'm now dealing with the gout as I get older. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that when Joe Biden gets his numbers back, they're probably going to be better than mine. I'm just going to say I believe they're going to be better than mine.
Well, just objectively, when someone is thin,
yeah,
versus someone who is really fat like Trump,
right. Yeah,
it's a big advantage. Your blood pressure is going to be lower. Your heart rate's going to be better. All those, you just know it. But to be fair, remember, Donald Trump could live to be 200 according to his previous doctor. Remember that?
Is that drunk-ass Ronnie Jackson?
Drunk-ass Ronnie Jackson, yeah. And then there was the doctor up in New York.
That guy,
who,
that hippie.
Who looked like Ozzy Osbourne and Cousin It had a child. Jesus.
Yeah.
And he went to medical school and got a medical degree.
He wasn't really a doctor so much as he was a roadie for the Grateful Dead.
Right, right. Have we painted enough of a picture that you know what that guy looks like?
I think that's pretty graphic. That'll work.
I think his name is Bornstein. Bornstein.
And he was never, I don't think he was really a doctor. He used his dad's stationery and shit like that. It was crazy.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And you knew that those letters extolling the virtues of Donald Trump's health were written by Donald Trump or exactly. Someone on his behalf. Because they were not written the way doctors write notes or letters. And I know that if I showed you right now, all the notes that are being taken about me, because I'm undergoing lots of tests in all the major categories. And when I see the way the doctors write their notes, first of all, of course, they write them very explicitly, and they write them so that if something does happen to me, I can't turn around and sue them because they made shit up. They put it all out there.
Yeah, no, it they has to say, be very very detailed.
Brad is likely to live to 100 if this all works. No, they don't write that. They don't write that. They don't put their opinions in there that way.
Let me give you a little bit of sidebar, and I won't sidetrack us too much, but my mom went to go see a guy recently. He goes, oh, you're going to break a hip. I went, why is he saying that? Why the fuck would he say that? You're not supposed to say that. You're supposed to say something like, well, the likelihood of you breaking a hip is great. The preponderance. Why would you? I can't believe he put it that way.
Put her in the bubble wrap now.
And by the way, her number's probably better than mine as well. Yeah, I'm taking a few medications. I got the hypertension. I got a little bit of high cholesterol. And because of the arrhythmia, they still got me on a blood thinner, but you know, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm okay. And the other stuff is good. Prostate seems to be fine, all that good shit. So, but I'm just
all right. That'll be all, Charles. That'll be all.
I told you I got the prostate exam back in January. Like she just,
I said that'll be all, Charles.
She goes, here's what we can do. You're here now. I can do the exam, or you can just tell me you'll just wait for the PSA numbers to come back. And I'll go, "Beh, I just had a shower. It's early. Let's go for it." And we did. And it was great. So gentle, so caring.
Are you done?
I think that's all I've got on that one. Do you want to
let's talk Wendy's here.
Wendy's and the surge pricing, which has
hang on a second. First of all, Wendy's put out a thing the other day. And they claim now that they have been misinterpreted.
Well, that's your fault.
That they're going to use dynamic pricing, where the cost of menu items will change depending on demand. And they say that dynamic pricing is not surge pricing. Mm-hmm. We didn't use that phrase. This is the Wendy's spokesman. Nor do we plan to implement that practice. The statement notes that the miscommunication came about because Wendy's had mentioned digital menu boards that would offer display flexibility. In other words, they could change the prices by advertising lower prices when things get slow. This was misconstrued in some media reports as an attempt to raise prices when demand is highest. We have no plans to do that and would not raise prices when our customers are visiting us most. And it was written this way the day before. Surge pricing is coming to Wendy's. The fast food chain revealed that they'll start dynamic pricing, testing that as soon as next year. So to the average human being, we make no distinction with a difference between dynamic pricing and surge pricing.
There is no difference between those two things. It's the same thing.
That's right. Because if you're, Uber and Lyft, if you're at the concert and you just walk out of the concert, the price to get in the damn car can be three or four times higher than it would have been if you would have been on the other side of town with just some goofball picking you up, right? Isn't that how that works?
And if you think, as an Uber driver, I didn't cancel the fuck out of rides until it got up to about five or six times and not did it, and I didn't do the ride for two times, you're wrong, because I definitely did that. I'd be waiting in a certain area, waiting for the concert to get out, and all of a sudden you'd see it go up.
Right. Now, it is my contention that this will not work. It will not stand. It cannot stand, except in one circumstance, which I will mention in a moment here. Dynamic pricing, surge pricing for, say, concert tickets, it does exist, right?
Oh, yes.
Because there's only a certain number of seats that can be sold, plus the seats go mostly onto the secondary market through StubHub and their phony different named subsidiaries instantly. So suddenly the $100 ticket is now $450.
Correct.
Instantly, right? And why is that? Because there's a demand for it. I don't like it. I hate it. It shouldn't be that way. But that with hamburgers, is there a limited supply of hamburgers that allows them to raise the price on the hamburgers? No. Are the workers working too much at 5:30 at night during dinner time when the line is around the corner at the drive-in enough that allows them to raise the price? I think not. And there's a reason, because right next to Wendy's, there's a Chick-fil-A and a McDonald's and a this and a that. And they're going to run ads saying our prices never change. They're always the same. They're always high. They suck. Oh, yes. Back to the $18 McDonald's Happy Meal story. But that was a few weeks ago. But you get the point. I don't think they can get away with this at all. I don't think they can.
You said the key thing there, particularly when it happens on Uber and Lyft, the drivers do make more money. The people making the hamburgers in this case are not going to be making more money if the price of the hamburger goes up.
But Brent, we care only about the shareholders.
This is some smart ass coming out of business school, and he's got a great idea, and he's going to just change the world with it, and it turns out to be absolute shit. And then they communicate it poorly and blame the media. That's what's happened in the past 48 hours, and you're right. They need to just go ahead, throw up the white flag. We fucked up. It's new Coke. It's a horrible idea. We're going to cycle out of this. Stop digging. And by the way, value menu here, and the burger's going to be here, and we'll just shut up and give you a Frosty.
Now, if they were very explicit about the fact that at 2:30 in the afternoon, when there's nobody ordering fast food, if they really were going to lower the price way lower than later in the day or whatever passes for prime time at a fast food truck, it was really going to be lower. That might be one thing, but I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think they want to do that.
No.
But here's the danger. Here's the danger. The danger is that they do it and it gets copied. They all do it. You remember the first time an airline, and this is now, or must be about 25 years into this, decided they were going to charge for baggage, because it used to be nobody charged for baggage.
Right.
And then somebody started it, and it was, we hated it. We hated it. And what happened? Every other airline except Southwest copied that. And today, I think it was last week, American Airlines said, oh, we're raising our fees again on bags. It's like 45 for the first bag. I think it used to be 25 or 35. So they keep going up. And what happens is they all match it. They match it on the way up. Nobody gets in there. Have you ever seen an airline, except Southwest, an airline that is charging for baggage advertise that their fees are lower than the other guys for baggage? They don't do it.
Hell
because
no.
It's a huge profit center because they're just charging for what they would normally do anyway, which is carry your damn bag on the bottom of the plane. So that could happen with this. If Wendy's does it and it sticks, or they're able to manipulate, or even if they lose a few customers, but the higher prices make up for that volume, volume, volume. If they lower prices at the off hours and the other guys see it, they'll all do it and we'll all lose. So it's a kind of a fascinating story, but I hate it.
Somebody,
I just hate the idea that they're going to do it.
I just happened to catch a little bit of the Dan Le Batard podcast with Stu Gatz, and Stu Gatz, who is a kind of an idiot, floated the idea of having sort of an HOV lane, or like a fast lane with using a dynamic pricing, and it would get you through faster. So you could pay more, but you would have a shorter line and a less of a wait time if they could manage that, which I don't think they ever could.
Oh, well, then next thing you know, it's like Amazon. You know, for $5 a month, you automatically get to be...
You're the front of the line. You're the front of the line. You can skip the entire line. It's like having the e-pass or whatever at Disney World. You just get to the front of the line.
Yeah, so just... we shouldn't talk about this because they listen to us closely.
Oh, no. Yeah. I think everybody in the fast food, their competitors were kind of like, God, that's a stupid idea. How can we modify that so it can work for us? I think you're 100% right about that. Like, well, that's a really dumb thing.
Well, remember what the genesis of fast food was. It was fast and cheap food.
That's right.
Now it's kind of not that anymore.
Yeah,
it's barely fast, and it isn't cheap for so many people. So they have to be careful about that. But
do you want to head to the great state of Michigan and talk about those incredible results?
Yeah, you know what? I really think this is a case of it's still February.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of people, Arabs in Michigan. And they're sympathetic college goofballs in Ann Arbor and the college professors, the hate Israel crowd, step forward to deliver Joe Biden a message. Message delivered, message received.
But was it?
Well, no, it's received, but it not quite explicitly acknowledged the way the people who voted undecided on the Democratic side wanted to be. Did they expect a Jimmy Swaggart moment out of Joe Biden, down on the floor, in tears? I'm sorry that we ever supported Israel. I'm sorry that, you know, it's my fault. We will cut them off at the knees now, and we will raise, you know what, once a year we will raise the Hamas flag over the White House. Are you happy?
What is, I'm not sure what these, I mean, I, again, you know, I want to be sensitive.
You know what they want.
I want to see, well, yeah, I mean, some of them want Israel wiped off the map. I understand that. But realistically, do they want him to say, okay, I'll do it. I'll get Netanyahu to pull off the dogs and we'll build a casino and Palestine will be a free state and Israel will never be able to touch it. And I'm so sorry. I mean, I'm again, sympathetic to what's going on with the Palestinian people. The Palestinian people are suffering because, unfortunately, Hamas attacked innocent people, and now there has to be an ass kicking. This has been going on for quite a while, and anyone who thinks that Hamas has done any favors for Palestinian people, they're completely full of shit. But for them to expect the full mea culpa from Joe Biden, and as you say, the Jimmy Swaggart, I'm sobbing, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean it, I'll immediately bomb Netanyahu. I mean, what was they expect at this point?
Well, look, this has been an impossible situation for 75 years.
Long time.
75 years. And there could be a ceasefire within a few days. Joe Biden announced it, you know, his ice cream cone moment there with Seth Meyers.
So offensive. So terribly offensive.
Who did I hear say this morning? Yeah, when he was on with Jimmy Fallon the other night, Biden, you know that.
Jimmy,
how long do these guys have to be on TV before they're not thought of as the same guy?
It's
isn't
like
it sad.
That was like isn't the celebration sad? Of the 10th anniversary of the Seth Meyers show.
I know
show.
It it's didn't like, matter though. He's nobody. He isn't even a Jimmy. Seth Meyers, not even a Jimmy, and that's he's hilarious. He's on at 12:30. So,
did you happen to see the and I don't have their names, the guys that were on with Stewart on Monday where they did the panel discussion? They got a Jewish guy and they had a Middle Eastern guy and they were talking about it, and they've had quite a dialogue over the years.
You know, it is ensconced in my DVR.
Yeah,
I've yet to watch it, and of course, once you get to Wednesday or Thursday and you haven't watched the show,
it
becomes more difficult to. Give a shit, and maybe I can get by with a week without.
It's a good. It's a Stewart. Good discussion. I don't know if they have any really good. I think, and I just hate to refer them as the, you know, the Middle Eastern guy and the Jewish guy, but that's all I can remember at this point. They had a thought. The Middle Eastern guy goes, "Look, we need to either really get serious about this because it's not really serious as far as a solution." Stewart's solution was to go ahead have a demilitarized zone. All of these Middle Eastern nations that are wringing their hands over the plight of the Palestinians can form a demilitarized zone on the Gaza Strip between Palestine and Israel. Of course, they won't, but I'm just going to go ahead with that was his supposition, and we could be Saudi Arabia and Qatar and all of these people that are just so disturbed about what's going on with the Palestinians. They could form a demilitarized zone. Of course, we would contribute as well to make sure everything's fine, and that would be what we would do. The Middle Eastern guy goes, we need to either do something very big or we just need to stop. We just need to pull out, stop supporting Israel to the extent that we support Israel, and just let them work it out on their own. Because the way things have been going, it's madness. It'll never solve anything in its current form.
So the United States, not the essential nation. We can start to see what the world will be like when the United States pulls back, becomes more isolationist. We can become isolationist. Let's test this out in the Middle East. That's a good idea. I don't think so.
Well, how has our involvement in Iraq improved things? I'm trying to remember that. How does that made things a lot better? Us getting involved in Iraq.
Well, this is not Iraq.
I understand that, but if you talk about being isolationist, maybe we should have isolated a little bit and not invaded Iraq. That might have been a good idea, right?
There's a difference between being isolationist and then or lying your way, into a conflict because it's part of some white paper that you and your buddies cooked up at a think tank in 1997.
The thing is, they've gotten so much worse. Like there's the thing that Mark Meadows is in charge of is 100 times worse than the Heritage Foundation. That stupid thing that he got makes the Heritage Foundation look like the Red Cross.
Yeah. One last thing. On the previous podcast, we noted that Don Jr. down in Jupiter, Florida, unfortunately opened an envelope and out came white powder.
Yeah.
Like Penn Jillette doing magic, right? Or LeBron James before the game. And it turned out, fortunately, not to be anything that was that dangerous. This morning, Wednesday, as we speak, a suspicious white powder spilled out of an envelope addressed to, that's right, Judge Arthur Engoron of New York, who just levied the big judgment against Donald Trump for $350 million. So there was a big emergency response at the Manhattan Supreme Court building in New York. This was at 9:30. The unidentified powder was deemed safe at about 1 in the afternoon. But is this possible that Don Jr. just resealed the envelope?
It's possible.
Readdressed it, sent it overnight, FedEx, and there it was. Is that possible, Britt? Yes or no?
It's only 100% possible. I would say that the odds of that happening. And the breaking news.
Eleanor Cliff, what do you think?
Patty, you.
Yeah.
Freddie Beetlebars. Media is reporting that the judge in Trump's fraud case received a letter containing white powder. So there you go with that. So it's a white powder mania. Oh, God, that brings back, speaking of Iraq,
that brings back the same guy.
It's you think it's the same dude?
Yes, it's the same story, Britt.
You remember that that period of American history in the early 21st century when we had, you know, white powder mania? It was different than the white powder mania of the 80s. You guys were doing something different, but this was like supposed to be anthrax and shit like that.
So now the question is, will Judge Engoron seal up the envelope and send it on to someone else? Who's next? Who's next?
It's like a multi-level marketing system is what it is.
I would send it to, say, someone like Jim Jordan.
Brad, it's the new ice bucket challenge. That's what it is.